happy at another opportunity to share God's word. And it is really my hope that something will be shared in this lesson that will help us indeed. We have a responsibility to equip ourselves with knowledge so that we can adequately prepare ourselves for eternity. The lesson this evening I have titled, Take Personal Responsibility, or we could title it let your, but I thought that was the first option. I said, well, let your doesn't seem to be saying much, but I think it will come across a little clearer later. But possibly a better title, take personal responsibility. And we hope that this will enlighten us, help us as Christians in respect to Christian living. Working and taking responsibility for our spiritual well-being is demonstrated throughout Scripture. And if we should zero in on probably some of the more critical things as it relates to our Christianity and serving and pleasing the Almighty God, then we recognize that God actually expects us to take responsibility for our spiritual well-being. This is not really a part of the lesson, but we would have in previous lessons been exposed to the fact that in our very salvation quest, in our pursuit of getting into the family of God, that even in the obedience process of salvation, that God expects the convert, the prospective convert, to take active and primary responsibility to get into the body of Christ. You know, we will recall in a recent message by Brother Mitchell, you know, and he used the illustration with the Philippian, the eunuch. And when Philip would have taught him, it's almost like Philip just stopped. You know, I have done my part. But then it was the responsibility of the person needing to be saved to then ask question, well, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So the person is expected to take personal responsibility. In respect to worship, another critical component of our service to God. You know, a very familiar passage is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, where it tells us that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And in that, we see that it is our responsibility to ensure that we take responsibility to be in worship when it is time for worship. And probably the largest part of serving God is that of our Christian living. How do we operate on a day-by-day basis? Doing the things that we ought to do, refraining from doing those things that we ought not. Christian living. And that's really going to be the essence of our lesson, that in our Christian living, we must take responsibility, personal responsibility, for our action. Let your. Over and over we see this occurring, this phrase repeating in Scripture. You know, we are told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 through 39, let your communication be of a particular nature. And watch it carefully. Let your. This phrase, these two words, is actually putting the onus, it is putting the responsibility on us, on the me. So, Fabian, you must take responsibility. Fabian, let your communication. So it is for me to make the effort to ensure that my communication is of a particular status. Well, let's read that. Matthew chapter 5, 37 through 39.
But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay.
Alright. So it is for you to make sure that you speak in certain terms. That is your responsibility. The same chapter, verse 16, uses a similar term. Verse 16 of Matthew 5. Let your light. And so here again we are saying that I have a responsibility to make my light shine. You have a responsibility to make your light shine. It is not that I have a responsibility to make sure that you all of your light shining. Well, I should encourage that, but it is really your responsibility to ensure that your light, your life, has the type of influence that it should. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, again the concept, let your speech. All right, and it is you ought to make your speech what it should be. You see, this is in contrast to, you know, what we would have seen in persons like Adam and Eve and Aaron, where when confronted with their sin, they sought to pass the blame along. Instead of taking the responsibility, the personal responsibility for their action. You see, our Christian living, or our life of serving God, sinning as opposed to not sinning, becomes our responsibility. You know, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12, you know, 12 and 13, when the devil tempted Eve and she ate the fruit, and then she encouraged her husband Adam to also eat. When God confronted them, you know what Adam said? You know, he said, well, his defense, the woman that you gave me. And it's almost like he is relinquishing himself from what he did. And when God turned the light now on Eve and said, why have you sinned? You know, she says, well, the devil, the serpent, he beguiled me. He deceived me. And so, again, we see that human nature, where instead of owning up and taking responsibility and move on from there, we seek to blame others. But we need to take personal responsibility. Let your action. And Aaron is interesting. You know, when Moses went up to the mountain to get the law, and time elapsed, and time, days passed, weeks passed, and the people start getting anxious, and they went to their leader. And, you know, he told them to take out all of their jewelry and give it to him. And he made the calf.
And they made a big thing of it. He said, you know, this calf is who take you out of Egypt. You know, get excited about the whole thing. You know, well, that is, you know, when man gets excited, they have to be careful. That's a point that came out of the lesson this morning. When Moses came down and saw what was happening and confronted Aaron. Okay, Exodus chapter 32, verse 24.
And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf.
All right, you see? So Aaron says, you know, I just tell them to give me their jewelry, and I just put it in the fire. And this well-shaped, beautiful calf just appeared. I said, whoa, you know, it's really in the days of miracles. You know, they just put in things and it just happened like that. And it's a good thing inspiration gave us more to that in that verse. Because when we read, we have time. When we read from about verse 1 to 4, read that quickly for me.
And when
we're going to see how it just took shape.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount,
yes,
the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron,
yes,
and said unto him, up, make us gods.
Right, so the people said, come on, do something, make us gods,
which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt,
yes,
we not what is become of him.
We don't know what happened to Moses. Long time him gone.
And Aaron said unto them,
yeah,
break off the golden earrings.
So up to this point, it sounds consistent with what he said to Moses. Right? He did admit that he told them to take off their jewelry. Alright, read.
Which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters.
Yes.
And bring them unto me.
And bring them unto me. Yes.
And all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears.
Yes.
And brought them unto Aaron.
And I brought them to Aaron. He wasn't telling any lie here.
And he received them at their hand.
And he received them.
And fashioned it.
And he what?
And fashioned it.
And he fashioned it.
With a graving tool.
With a what?
With a graving tool.
So with him have equipment.
That's right.
And him shape it and him mold it. But then when the confrontation hit him, he said, what? He admitted that he took the jewelry and that he put it in the fire, but then it just appeared. But when you drill down to it, realize that he actively created this image. And we do it. You know, we will do all manner of evil and wrong, and we really go down the wrong road. But when we are confronted at first, you know, we give the impression that not so. Point. We need to take personal responsibility. So the concept of let your is that we should take that active part. We must take personal responsibility for what is happening. And we see this ringing through scripture. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So don't study to show somebody else. You see, it is for you to study to make sure that in the sight of God,
amen,
you know what you should know.
Amen.
It is a personal thing.
Amen.
But not only should we study to show ourselves approved unto God, but we are told in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14 that even in a teacher-student situation, that if the teacher
is ignorant, is blind, and seeks to teach the student or lead the student, then it is not just the teacher who's going to run into problems. So, read the passage. Matthew 15:14.
Let them alone.
Let them alone.
They be blind leaders of the blind.
They be blind leaders of the blind.
And if the blind lead the blind.
And if the blind leads the blind.
Both shall fall into the ditch.
The teacher will end up falling into the ditch. The teacher will end up falling into the ditch.
Both.
As well as the student. So they will both fall into the ditch. But sometimes we get the impression that, well, if the church leader says it, so it is their responsibility. Well, as the person being led, we also have to take responsibility, because when we act, God is going to hold us responsible as well. We have to take personal responsibility for our Christian living. We have to. You know, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us that we need to work out. We need to work at our sister's salvation. We have to work at our brother's salvation. We have to work at everybody's salvation and leave out ours. No? Are preaching false teachings up here? Right, well, read. Read it then. Let me see.
Wherefore, my
I take personal responsibility if I misunderstood that. Read.
Wherefore, my beloved,
as
ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence.
Okay.
Work out your own salvation.
With what?
With fear and trembling.
With fear and trembling. And I think we'll touch that part. But we need to work at our own salvation. We can't say, well, that's what they teach me. That won't be a good enough excuse for you. We can't say, well, that is what I grew up knowing. We have to work at. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not any joke thing. We have to take personal responsibility. You know, the local congregation, the church, how it is structured. We have various offices, persons with different responsibilities, some of which don't even exist now, because at the start of the church we had the apostles, but the apostles became apostles for special reasons, right? And they were qualified as apostles based among other things that they saw and they witnessed Jesus Christ after his resurrection. All right, and there are some other things. But when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 following, we recognize that there are several persons that were at play in the local congregation or in the church. You know, persons such as the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And these were set up, these persons were put in the church to build up the church, to edify the church, to cause the church to grow and develop as it should. You know, well, let's read at least a few of the verses, starting at verse 11 of chapter 4.
And he gave some apostles.
He gave some apostles.
And some prophets.
Some prophets.
And some evangelists.
Evangelists.
And some pastors.
Some pastors.
And teachers.
Some teachers. So these were distinct roles that were in that we saw in the church.
Amen.
Read.
For the perfecting of the saints.
So listen carefully now. Why? Why did God go out of his way to have these different roles in the church? The purpose.
For the perfecting of the saints.
So one purpose is to perfect the
saints.
The saints.
For the work of ministry.
Two. All of these roles is for the
work of ministry.
Of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
And to edify or build up the church.
Sorry, church.
So all of these, this would represent the purpose. Now, what we need to observe carefully is that the apostle's role, the role of the person who would tell forth, the evangelist, the overseers, the bishop, the teachers, it's not really so much that these persons, these men and women, because this involves teachers too, it is not necessarily that these persons leading the church like this would be doing all the work. Notice that they are perfecting the saints. You know, a part of the perfecting of the saints is that they would be equipping the Christians to be able to evangelize. They would be equipping the Christians, the members, to be able to go out and visit and give encouraging words, to be benevolent. All of the things that make the saints what they should be would be the responsibility of these persons in one way or the other. So it is not so much that they were doing the things. You know, the beautiful thing though is that every single role that we mentioned just now, none of those roles were exempt from them in the first place being Christians. You get where I'm going? So here's it that we had what? Apostles, we had prophets, mm-hmm. All right, we had evangelists, we had
pastors,
and we have teachers. That's what is mentioned in this passage. But every apostle was first and foremost a Christian. Everyone that was going and telling forth and teaching and declaring about God and Christ and Christianity and the church, they were first and foremost Christians. The evangelist is a Christian. The pastor, the bishop, they were Christians. All teachers were Christians. So, in their role wasn't so much to be doing all the evangelism, all the visiting, all the giving, all the kindness and hospitality, all of these. Their purpose was really to be doing these things, including perfecting the saints. So in those roles, that's what was happening. But because they were also Christians, then they would also do these things. But they were set up and put in place to equip, to help in that. We made reference earlier to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show themselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Perfecting the saints. For the work of the ministry. You see, when the saints are equipped, when they are reaching, when they're at that point where they are in a perfecting stage. I'm careful not to say perfect because I don't know which Christian is perfect. But as we move towards perfection, you'll find that we are better equipped to work in the ministry. We are better equipped to work doing God's work. Then we start building up each other. Because, you know, edify means just that. That we are building, we are growing. You know, we are not what we ought to be. We are at a particular stage, but we are moving up. You know, some of us we are at a particular point where we are next to nothing. So God is almost building us up from scratch. Some of us, you know, we are partway there. We can be renovated and fixed up, you know. So we all are about that, you know. You know, brother, I'm looking forward to Brother Mitchell's lesson that he announced. You know, each joint, each part must do his part. Right? But all of that is part of our responsibility. But what the point I'm making? Even though the church is organized with leaders, don't put it in your mind that it is the leader's responsibility to do the work. You know that leaders in the church, and they have to work, you know, they are Christians too. But you know the leaders in the church is probably better categorized as a coach more than a hired help. You see, a hired help is one, you get the person to do the work for you. But a coach, and I'm stepping out of scripture, this is my come up with, alright? Robert said, this is my newness. alright. The responsibility of a coach is to help, like the athletes, to become a better person at their profession.
That's right.
So, who won the 100 championship? You won? Yes. You won, Blake? Yeah. The responsibility of his coach was to bring him to that point.
That's right.
Can you imagine Yuan saying, yeah man, I hired the best coach. And you know what? I'm not going to just relax. I make the coach do all the work and tell me everything to be done. And then I'll be good. You couldn't win.
That's right.
The coach will be guiding him in terms of what to do.
That's right.
What he needs to do mentally to put himself in that frame of mind. What he needs to do physically. Which muscles to build in what part of the leg. So that he can be equipped to run that 100 meter and win. So when we look at our leaders in the church, let us not look at them as hired help. So let us not get into a situation where we are saying, well, you know, the church is not doing enough evangelism. What is the preacher doing? Well, there are some responsibility that he has. To what extent is he equipping us to be able to teach and evangelize? But the truth is, it is us, the pews, who need to be going out and working. We need to take personal responsibility for that. We need to. You know, going back to the various roles, the apostles we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 17, we saw them at play in terms of what they were doing. They were ensuring that the church was in its infancy stage, didn't have the benefit of years of sitting at a teacher's feet and learning and getting a whole lot of experience, not having the scripture easily accessible in one hole. In fact, it wasn't even written yet. But the church still needed to function. What we see, well, let's read it first. Verse 17 of Acts 8.
Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
So, well, I should probably give a little bit more context. But, so, what you had is that you had some preachers, and like Philip and some other persons, they were in a particular area. And they were converting persons, right? And but they were more like evangelists, and they were moving through different places. They would be moving on. But what they were converting persons now. But if they moved on, there would be a deficit of knowledge, and so they called for the apostles, and the apostles were then able to pass on special gifts to men, so that they could work in the ministry.
Amen.
So that they could build up the saints and perfect the saints, but they got special gifts. That was among the role that the apostles had. So, notice that it wasn't the apostles, even though they did some amount of that. But it wasn't only the apostles that were going around evangelizing. It was the Christians. But they needed to be strengthened. Their knowledge needed to be expanded. The persons were going sometime into strange countries and didn't know the language. So they had to get special gifts so that they could speak a new language. Understand a language that they had never heard before. So they got the gift of tongues. You know, to shore up and emphasize that they were really from God. Some of them got the gift of healing. So they could just pray over somebody and then get better just like that. Instantly. Alright. That's the type of role we saw with the apostles. You know. The evangelists. You know, let's get a little insight into that. We see, let's have Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. And somebody else, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Read.
For this cause left I thee in Crete.
Alright, so this is now the evangelist. And Paul is speaking to Titus. Alright? And he's saying, it is for this reason I left you in Crete. Why? Read.
That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting.
So you should set in order the things that are wanting. So you know what this is? It is perfecting the same. Things that are wanting so that the work of the ministry can continue. Alright? So the church can be built up. Read.
And ordain elders in every city.
And to ordain elders in every city. So you see, one of the responsibilities of the evangelist was to men who were qualified, that they would have ordained these persons as elders. So that's a different role than that of the apostle. Alright, different from the teacher. Alright, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2.
And the things that thou hast heard of me, mm-hmm, among many witnesses,
yeah,
The same commit thou to faithful men.
So Paul here was now teaching Timothy. And he said, the things that I commit to you, you commit to faithful men too. So we start getting an insight of what the evangelist would be doing.
Amen.
Alright? It is not that, hey, the apostle has given me some information, has taught me, and so it is my responsibility as the evangelist to go now and do all the work because the apostle gave me.
No.
It is that I have been committed with certain knowledge as an evangelist, but he's going to now seek out men who are faithful, and he's going to teach them so that they can teach others
also. Yes.
What's the point? We have the responsibility. It is not just the leaders. But remember, the leader is also a Christian. So he's not without excuse to also work. But his role is not to do the work. It is us. Let that be our work too. We need to take personal responsibility. Can we look at the pastors? You know, get an insight as to the pastor. You know, if the evangelist is ordaining the pastor, then it must be the pastor's work to do all of the work. Okay? So, Brother Michelle, you did not appoint any pastor. That's why we're not doing our paperwork. Because we don't appoint real workers. All right, but let's get an insight now as to what the pastor's role is. All right. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. All right. So let's see if we get any insight there. So we are now at the pastor. We're here, sir. Mm-hmm.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves.
Take heed, therefore, to yourselves.
And to all the flock.
And to all the flock.
Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers.
Overseers, alright. So, overseer is another word for pastor, for bishop, alright. So, over which, I say, for which you are overseer, for which you are a pastor, for which you are a bishop, yes.
To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
So, one of the purpose, our primary purpose we're seeing here of the pastor, of the bishop, is to feed the flock. You know why the flock needs feeding? The flock needs feeding so that they can be perfected. The flock needs feeding so that they can have strength to go do the work of the ministry. So that they can help in the building up of the church. So guess what? It is not the pastor's role to do all the work.
That's right.
Yes, he has to evangelize too.
That's right.
Yes, he has to visit too. Yes, he has to be perfected in terms of his moral ways. But he's supposed to be very good morally. But he's not the one to do the work, but it's to feed the Christian. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Alright, I want to leave the message with you. So we're going to look at the teacher and saying, well, if we make everybody then who call themselves any type of teacher is them supposed to do all of the work. So whoever take up the responsibility to teach in the young people's group and to teach in the ladies' class and to teach in the Sunday school, yeah, you are the workhorses. But if I am not a teacher, if I'm not a designated teacher in the church, then I don't have any work. Let us evaluate that. And if we evaluate that and see that that is the case, then now we understand why only a handful of persons would be working in the church. But let's see if that is really the case. So, this may be the last passage we're going to. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. So we're now looking at the teachers. Because we realize that the apostles weren't going to do the work all by themselves. We realize, well, we didn't even jump down on the prophets, but I want to tie up the prophet and the evangelist in one for convenience. Alright? We see that it's not them. Alright? We see that it is not the bishop and the pastor, the overseer. Alright, so we're now looking at the teacher. Alright, after we look at this, the lesson is yours. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12.
For the time ye ought to be teachers.
So when for the time you ought to be teachers,
ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
And not of strong meat. Alright. Alright, we have to break this down a little. So if our argument is that it's only designated teachers that's supposed to do the work and so forth, then when we look at this passage is telling us that there is an expectation by God that everybody, after a while, after a certain time elapsed, as we move through time being a Christian, God is expecting that all of us are teachers. Read it again. I don't think we got it. Start at the top.
Mm-hmm. For when, for the time, you
for
ought to
when,
be,
for the time,
you ought to be teachers.
You ought to be teachers. So, when we just became Christians, God is really seeing us as babies.
Amen.
So this is where we start. All of us start here. I remember what we said. Even when we were at the start, God expected us to take the responsibility for our salvation, to the point that when we are to become Christians, we should seek out actively to become Christians. All right? But this is time. As time elapses, for some of us it will start quicker than others. But there is a period of time that the responsibility that God expects of us to teach is not so high. You know, because we recognize that there's some amount of ignorance. There's some amount of knowledge building that is necessary. But we start reading again.
You ought to be teachers.
You ought to be teachers. There comes a time when every single member, every single Christian is expected to be a teacher. Where all of us have to take the responsibility to teach and to share. And God is like an indictment. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, what happened?
You have need that
you have
one.
Need that somebody teach you again.
Yes.
The first principles.
Right.
What's my point? Once you're a Christian, you're automatically going into the teaching business. Automatically. All of us. Not all of us were able to teach the same way, you know.
That's
right. Not all of us will teach the same way.
That's right.
Not all of us will be able to teach the same thing.
That's right.
Well, probably need to fix up that statement. You know, we must all speak the same thing, you know. But there are some things that probably one person will study more than another, and so they are better equipped and prepared. But guess what? Over time, you're supposed to get there too.
That's
right. Yeah. So you might not be able to find as many passages. Might not be able to do it good like Brother Mary, Brother Mitchell. But you quickly, after becoming a Christian, you should at least be able to tell somebody what you did to become a Christian.
Right.
Yeah. So guess what? We cannot relinquish our responsibilities. So what's the lesson? Let your take personal responsibility. You have response. What is your let your? Well, we know we need to let our light so shine. We need to let our communication be of a particular nature. We need to let our speech be of a particular nature and quality. Let your. Take personal responsibility for your Christian life, your Christian living. In every critical area of our Christian journey, salvation, worship, and Christian living, God wants us to take personal responsibility. The lesson is yours. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation.